What's happening, everybody? It's Esteban with That Guy's Beard Oil. And if you guys haven't noticed yet, winter is coming. And everybody knows with winter comes dry skin. And everybody hates dry skin, especially us guys with beards, because we get that dry skin underneath our beards and then we get all that dandruff underneath. Check them out at etsy.com/shop/That Guy's Beard Oil. Save 10% at checkout using the code BEARDGANG, all one word. Get your balm, your oil, and be ready for the winter season. Now sit back and enjoy your podcast. Welcome to Comics, the podcast where co-hosts just get drunk and the rest of us watching Glee. My name is Esteban.
Armin.
This is Luis.
This is Ash.
Andres, hi.
What's going on, guys?
Howdy.
Yo. How's everybody's week been so far?
It's the longest week ever.
Yes. Fucking longest week ever.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. So bad. So Luis, what are you drinking today?
Today I am kicking it back to Texas. Shiner beer. Shiner holiday beer specifically. So it is Shiner's a very common beer in Texas. Mm-hmm. And they got their little holiday brew going on right now, available at BevMo and Total Wine, those brewery type places. I know, I was like, and what's the name of that other place? It's pretty good. It's a lager with just like a tiny hint of like gingerbread. I guess it's like holiday. Like, it's definitely not, I'm gonna drink this shit every day type of beer, but it's like, hey, Christmassy times, like, you know, have a couple.
Okay, so right when maybe BevMo is like, hey, this guy's doing pretty good at promote. Oh shit, all over it. Got it. Perfect job, wow. Bro.
Appreciate it. That's what I was going for.
I was going to say, see well. How far reading the can beforehand.
Yeah, there's shit. Probably,
like, you could have just literally turned the can and been like, oh, gingerbread. Sweet.
Actually, you know what? It was brewed with peaches, pecans, and a natural flavor of caramel is what that is.
Ooh,
so it's delicious.
Peaches and pecans, huh?
Poinsettia.
Poinsettia.
Thank you, Andres.
Very nice.
I should have done that last time. Next time. Next time I'll do it.
Next time you'll read.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. So today has been a very, 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 very interesting day filled with so much news. So much fan service. So much news. It's like I don't know where to begin. I think Disney and Marvel have literally knocked it out of the park again with all their announcements that they're coming up with. Just to start off, let's just start off with Star Wars. I mean, they've got, you know, tons of stuff going on. They've got an Ahsoka series that's going to be coming out now. You know, it's another Mandalorian spinoff, you know, Rangers of the New Republic, you know, the Acolyte, Rogue Squadron, which is going to be one of the new movies that's going to be coming out, Lando, Star Wars Visions, and I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean,
it's our only hope
with Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader.
Yes. And I'm actually pretty excited about that because I kind of want to see if they're going to go ahead and show his progression, not progression, but kind of like how his day to day is, you know, being in the suit and meditation and stuff like that. So I don't know. What do you guys think about the Star Wars news that Disney dropped today? Not all
I
at once, guys.
Like, I was a kid waking up on Christmas morning to open a bunch of presents. It's literally how I felt. I was at work and I started seeing the announcements pop up, and I screamed in my office. And my other coworkers came into my office and they're like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "You guys don't even know what's happening right now." And then I proceeded to tell them, but they don't watch, so they're just like, "Okay, we just thought there was something happening." And I was like, "Nope, nope, I'm fine."
How dare they?
Exactly.
Oh man, which one are you guys really excited for? Or is it just a whole like excitement for everything that's going to be coming up?
Everything in general, but specifically Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck the Cassian Andor show.
Yeah, Andor? The Andor one. Yeah.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be pretty awesome. And I'm interested to see how Visions is going to go, because from what I read, it's supposed to be like Japanese animation in the Star Wars universe. So that sounds pretty awesome. It could be really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And some of the ones, the one that I'm actually pretty stoked about too is The Bad Batch. It's going to be an animated series.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks like it's going to be pretty good. Lando, I'm actually pretty excited about that one too, because I think Donald Glover played a pretty excellent Lando. In...
Is it? That's what I was looking to see if there was any news as to if he was going to reprise the role on the series.
I'm not sure. Yeah. That I'm not 100% sure if
they didn't touch on it when I was watching the live stream. They did show his image, so maybe that's kind of hinting at it. Yeah. But Kevin Feige did not like say he was coming back or anything like that. He did say that Justin Simien is the one that's producing it. I don't know who he is, but that was confirmed.
Oh, see, that's cool. See, I'm excited about that. Star Wars or Droid Story, that looks like an animation, you know, I'm not sure, I didn't see what specifically they're going to be following as far as...
They're following R2-D2 and C-3PO on their own adventure.
Okay. Is it going to be animated? I mean, I would hope it would be animated.
It didn't seem like it was going to be animated, because they actually showed them as they were in the movie. So I don't know, maybe.
Oh, see, that's great. I like that. The Ahsoka series, I'm excited about that one, because I think it's going to go ahead and branch off a lot more to maybe Grand Admiral Thrawn. If we don't see him in The Mandalorian, I can see that happening. I can see them going with, casting Ezra, you know, because we seen Ezra, you know. So I think overall, I mean, it's insane with the amount of news and everything that's actually happening, you know, with this, because it's Rogue Squadron is going to be one of the new movies, and I have a feeling that it's going to be based off of the video game that was just recently launched, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was a video game for RV or a VR.
Squadron?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rogue Squadron.
Oh, that you were talking about N64. Sorry.
What do you mean? No, tell me. What?
Wasn't there a Rogue... There was a Rogue Squadron N64. That's
what there was.
Oh, okay.
And there's been Rogue Squadrons, I think, on PC for...
Years.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, so I mean, I'm super stoked about that. The Marvel news that they ended up dropping, you know, is, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words, to be quite honest, because based off of everything that's actually happening, like Carmen said, it was like, you know, Christmas Day, you know, opening up all these gifts and looking towards the future of what we're actually going to go ahead and have to go ahead and see. We're going to get a Willow series also.
It's a series or a sequel? I didn't hear much about it.
I think it's supposed to be a sequel. So
we,
yeah.
So that's good. I haven't seen Willow in years, so I'm gonna have to dust that off of Disney Plus. I have to dust it off of Disney Plus and check that out. But for the longest time, I confused Willow and Legend as the same movie. No.
Which one's Legend?
Legend is the one with Tom Cruise. and Tim Curry as the devil.
Okay, now I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. So I confused the two. Those were the two that I confused a lot. Now, to kind of pull away a little bit from Star Wars, I know we're going to go back to it because we always hit the Mandalorian at the end.
I do want to touch upon something that was kind of exciting. There is a proposed Star Wars.
Yeah, you do.
New movie releases. I don't know if it will be a trilogy or not, but the project head for it is Taika Waititi. So that's going to be dope, I think. Yeah, that's their next focus as far as like movies, actual movies, instead of just the shows that they will be releasing on Disney Plus.
Or kind of like the one-off movies like Solo and mm-hmm. Rogue One and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They didn't say what it was on or mm-hmm. like what is going to focus on, but yeah, sorry, Ash. But see, this is payback for you interrupting me all the time.
I'm getting mad at myself for interrupting you, not getting mad at you at all.
Go ahead.
I think it's a great progression to go into a bunch of different little series. People tend to shit less on like on series because you can keep saving it. When you do a movie, like, I don't know why people don't like Rogue One. I like Rogue One as a movie and it's good and blah, blah, blah. I'm fine. It's not the end all be all for me, but like with the series, even in The Mandalorian, there could be like a like we discussed the other time, Walking Dead, where it's kind mm-hmm. of like nothing really happened, but you're fine because there were three episodes of just, you know, the meme of South Park when he's by his computer and he's all done up. You guys know what I'm talking about. But I just hope that every series has its own story and they're not trying to flash fucking Legends of Tomorrow. Like, just kind of keep everybody its own little story. And if some series are one and done, then it's one and done. And don't try to make it every series five seasons. Just if you told the story, then just be done. But I think it's a great progression.
And yeah, I dig it. I am. It's very, very exciting times. There's a really good comic book series mm-hmm. for Star Wars. There's an arc. They have it in graphic novel form. It's called Vader Down. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It is absolutely amazing, and I strongly recommend it. It's and essentially takes place right after Revenge of the Sith, and where mm-hmm. in this storyline, Anakin finds out really early on that he does have kids and the Emperor's lying to him, and the Emperor's constantly putting him in through tests like, hey, this person might be an apprentice. You guys should fight. And it's just like, it's a constant tug of war, and Anakin is making it the facade that he's being very loyal or whatever, but deep down he's waiting for his moment to strike, essentially, which mm-hmm. links up really well with, you know, the original trilogy and how everything happened. And it's just, he just like, fuck, he had enough, you know? And just with Obi-Wan, that would be, especially if it's 10 years after, mm-hmm. if they follow anywhere near, or even if they like touch on the Vader Down storyline, would just be so great. Just, I think Rogue One did such an amazing job of showing how scary Vader can be, you know, like at the very fucking end when you just see him come in, like everyone's freaking the fuck out. Me as a viewer, I know yeah. who that is, and it's like, holy shit, like they made him badass, like, again, because I felt, for me, some of it was tarnished with what was happening in like episode 1, 2, and 3. It's like, they kind of softened it, in my personal opinion. And so it just kind of, they made him more fearful again. And they kind of gave him that respect that I saw when we first saw him in A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. So
I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Them trying to depart away from, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3. And I get that. But I don't think that episode 1, 2, and 3 kind of diminished the fear of Vader, only because it was Anakin and turning into Vader. You know what I mean? It's like the Vader is, you know, that's why this, like you were saying, 10 years later with Obi-Wan, it's going to show him, it's going to bring that back. You know what I mean? Yeah. You kind of see what I'm saying, yeah. You know, and then for it to be 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, I think it's going to, and I can almost guarantee that they're going to touch on Vader down. The way that I've seen the news, all the news coming out today from Loki to, you know, Fantastic Four to all this other stuff, it looks like they are pulling direct sources from the comics. You know what I mean? So, and it's going to be just massive fan service for everybody, for everybody to see. So I can almost guarantee that they're going to touch on Vader down, you know, I mean, they have to, you know, to go ahead and do something like that in order for, like you saying, you know, it's that comic book reestablished or established Vader being the dark lord of the Sith. You know what I mean? So I think that that would be something that would end up happening. Honestly, a lot of people are going to see it as Hayden Christensen's redemption, you know, his redemption role to come back to Star Wars, you know what I mean? So I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's just so much that's happening in the next 10 years for Disney, Fox, Star Wars, Lucasfilms, you know, it's to begin with, it's 10 Marvel series.
It was 10 Marvel series.
And 10 Star Wars.
It's good times. I think he's back. And he's back.
Oh, I froze. And I'm back. There's that. Hey, I just recently replaced the modem in the house. So
it's all good. Still... 10 years is gonna come and go faster than we realize. Like when they announced like all the phases for Marvel, that felt like, oh man, that's so far in the future. And then after fucking Endgame, it's like,
yeah.
Like we felt so empty because we're like, what's next? Like, you know, everything had been finished to that point, you know, the last one was Spider-Man.
Right. And then maybe in 10 years, I'll actually have a stable internet connection that'll actually not lag throughout this entire conversation. So
you can finish your thought.
So I can finish my thought process, you know. So there's that. There's lots of things to look forward to.
All this potential.
There's so much potential. But now shifting gears to Marvel, how excited are you guys about this Spider-Verse, live action Spider-Verse? Mm-hmm. No one?
I think that all of us are, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. And Carmen's not. She just left, so.
I'm sorry. I'm making tea.
Remember when they announced it and then they pulled back? Like, they kind of fucking... What's that word?
They showed all their cards.
Not foreshadowed, but like... I don't know if maybe... They did that and went, oh, wait for the big fucking announcement, like the big Black Panther 2 and all this other crap. And they were like, no second stimulus check. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they fucking just,
said a lot of words.
They just pulled back on everything. And I don't know, fucking. I was excited then. I'm excited now, but it's kind of like, you know, fucking like when Smithers finally admits he's gay, like, yeah. Okay, we know. But everything else is awesome.
You can't. Your analogies are all over the place, dude. Like, I can't. Are you drinking that horny toad's liquor again?
Somebody likes that comment. Thank you.
I'm excited to get Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Kristen Dunst and now I'm Stone, right? Thank you. Have it. The best thing about that, I think, is that we could have Spider-Gwen with Emma Stone if they decide to do that. So that would be really awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
I think that would be great. Because it was already confirmed by Kevin Feige today that Doctor Strange will link Spider-Man 3 together.
Yeah.
As one.
I think it would have to, right? With everything going on.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
and it hasn't been announced, but they would have to pull Venom into that, right? Like that would be a no-brainer for Sony to do that.
That's the only thing they haven't mentioned.
Yeah, they haven't confirmed. But I mean, at this point, and don't get me wrong, I love hearing this news as much as the next, you know, like in comic book fan. But doesn't a part of you kind of like?
No,
doesn't a part of you not want to know so that you get like that holy shit moment in the theater or like when you watch it for the first time? Nobody.
I'm gonna still be there when you see like fucking Tobey Maguire as dressed like Spider-Man again. I'm just be like, oh fuck.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still gonna love it. I'm just saying, like I kind of started resenting trailers because they sometimes release things. And it's like early in the movie, I'll see someone looks in presence.
Say that again.
I start to resent trailers because they release things.
Okay.
like spoilers, like tiny little spoilers. And I get like if I see a fight scene in the beginning and it looks like they're gonna lose, but I'm like, wait, I saw a trailer where he was in the ocean, so he can't lose here. He's at least gonna be. And so I start doing that logic in my head. No,
not at all. When I'm watching the movie, I'm solely thinking of the movie and where we're at.
God, I envy your brain, man. That's good.
Thanks. I know. I've heard that once or twice before.
Well, there you go. No, I'm excited for that. I like the fact that they're bringing back Jamie Foxx. He's going to reprise his role as Electro, but it's going to be, they're already saying that it's not going to be the Electro from Amazing Spider-Man. It's going to be a different Electro.
Oh, so he's not going to be playing the Riddler. As Electro. Got it.
Yeah. You know, Alfred Molina, they're saying the same thing, that he's reprising his role as Dr. Octavius, but it's going to be a different Dr. Octavius. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what I don't want, or I hope doesn't happen, is a shot for shot in certain scenes of Into the Spider-Verse that we saw in the animated series as live action. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that, you know, because I've already seen it. You know,
because we got it.
Right.
I don't know. I'd still have a mega nerdgasm if that happened. Like, if there was like a scene that was similar to it, it's like, holy shit, that's from this. Like, that's still good excited.
Yeah. There. And then, you know, to see, you know, all three Spider-Man or all three Spider-Men all on the same screen, you know what I mean? And then for them to link together, you know, the it's going to lead into the multiverse. You know, just to kind of see. I'm actually hoping that if it's going to be relatively the same as Into the Spider-Verse, I see Tobey Maguire playing a very good Spider-Man B. Parker. You see what I mean? The one that would the tragic one.
The older one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I see Tobey Maguire playing that version of Spider-Man or Peter Parker. You know what I mean?
So that would mean Kristen Dunst is dead, which. Or she ends up with somebody else, or she's dead.
No, they're just not together.
Yeah, they ends up with someone else.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. So, I kind of think that if it goes towards a Spider-Gwen, her arc was she saw her best friend Peter Parker die. So I can see them killing off Andrew Garfield, and then her becoming Spider-Gwen, more as a end credit scene, you know. I can see that happening. That would actually be kind of cool. And then this leading into a Sinister Six, you know, movie. Because the one thing that I'm really concerned about this is that Sony is already twice with Spider-Man 3 and then actually no Amazing Spider-Man 3 is that they bit off more than they can chew. And Spider-Man 3 didn't do very well. And then we never got an Amazing Spider-Man 3. So it's like I'm a little worried about it, but I still want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God. If they, I really enjoyed The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I thought it was a good story for what it was. And
you may be the only one.
I might be the only one.
And I loved that first one with Andrew Garfield.
I loved the first one. The second one I liked. I mean, when I watched it a second and third time, I didn't like it as much. I'm not going to lie. But I still enjoyed it. And even with how it ends, where he's about to fight the Rhino. And it's a very heavy emotional part. Like, I actually had made my girlfriend watch it like a couple weekends ago. So I'm like, this might be relevant. But it was like a very like heavy scene. Like I got choked up fucking with the little kid that, because Spider-Man's been missing because he's in mourning, this little kid puts on like the mask and stands up to the Rhino, and he's like 7 feet tall, and I'm like, like, I'm trying not to, I'm trying to hold it in. Like, it would be, I would love if they did that fan service, because we never got an Amazing Three, if they started picking up right from that scene right before the fucking Spider-Verse shit starts happening. Like, just to kind of like really tie that web together would be great. But
yeah. It sucks because Paul Giamatti is such a fucking great actor, and they put him in the not the worst role, just what the fuck?
It just doesn't fit him.
It does not.
Who are you, Spider? Yeah.
If they were going to recast like Dr. Octopus, I think he would have been perfect for that and not Ryan.
I agree.
Drop the accent. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
God, that was bad.
Do you think we would see a Spider-Man 2099 movie if this thing takes off?
I think when Sony gets the reins again and they're going to look for to franchise themselves, I could see that happening.
Miles Morales would be before.
Ooh,
good
call. Mm-hmm. Good call.
Okay. Like, I think that's going to be the surprise in the movie. Like, they're not saying shit right now, but I think that's what we're going to get.
It'll be Michael B. Jordan. I'm just kidding.
It would be Michael B. Jordan.
They showed in, what was it? Spider-Man Homecoming, his Miles Morales' uncle. Oh my gosh, I forgot the actor's name that played him.
Donald Glover,
yeah, he was the uncle. So it's like, okay, so we at least made a statement that, okay, that's the universe that they're in, and they just never touched on it again, but there's a lot of untapped potential there for sure.
I agree. I think there's a lot. There is a lot of untapped potential there, but I mean, we gotta wait.
Yeah. I think it's cool that the money is trusting the nerds. It's no longer like put nipples on the suit. It's no longer that era. Like, now it's like, music is cool, and here's $27 million just to begin with. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they probably put that hot chick in the movie. Like, at most they probably do that, but it's now like, we're gonna take from Breaking the Bat to going to Death in the Family, going to, I know I went Batman, but I'm trying to thinking
you always go Batman.
I think with just like the first three, the past three phases of the Marvel cinematic universe, it's, if you follow the storylines or you make a compelling movie, like, just let the people who have passion for the stories make their stories, and it'll pay off. So,
Want to see Scarlet Spider.
There is a Scarlet Spider.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there is a Scarlet Spider.
There is this. Yeah, yeah. I think it just goes back to what we were talking about in the last episode about the Nintendo world. It's all the kids that grew up with this stuff are now our age and in the movie business and want to see this.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see this, and they're in the meetings, they're at the table. They're the ones throwing the comic books at the executive producers, you know, saying, no, this is what we should be looking at. This is what we need to do. This is what they want. Why do you think they want it? Well, because this is a shit I want to watch. This is a shit that I want, you know, Not like how Ash was saying, well, let's put Megan Fox into this one, you know, or, you know, it's stuff like that, shit like that, you know.
What's going to happen now? You just said it. You just
watched. She's not going to be in it. She's done. She's not going to be in it. There's no way.
She ruined Ninja Turtles.
She did. Megan Fox is Rogue. Megan Fox is Rogue? How dare you?
Insane, man. Shit like that does happen. I'm glad that nerds run the world right now.
We're going to be running the world for a while right now.
Okay, take it easy.
You know,
10 years at least.
But at least, you know. Did you guys see the trailer for Loki? Yeah. That right there. No? Luis, you got to watch that. That is right there for sure. Fan service coming out of the Loki comic book series. Right there.
The president when he's running
when he's running for president, it's he and it's like the little short horned crown that he's wearing, the buttons that say vote for Loki and stuff like that. It looks great. The fact that Owen Wilson's also in it, I think, is actually pretty hilarious.
Huh.
You know?
I think wow. Because, well, not great.
Exactly.
I don't like my actors that are my age having gray hair, but fuck it, whatever. Luke Wilson's in... No, sorry. Owen Wilson's in that, and Luke Wilson's in Stargirl.
Are you trying to tell me that you don't have gray hair?
I do have gray hair. I just... But he
shaves it.
I'm not fucking Alfred yet, but I'm getting there. It's just weird.
Don't worry, Andres. I see your gray hair too, buddy.
Them getting older means I'm getting older, and that's what everybody hates. Back to Luis.
Yep, getting older. It sucks. Back to you, Esteban. Deflection.
Thank you, E Honda. Appreciate it. I'm actually pretty stoked also about the What If animated series. That one actually looks, not saying that all the other stuff didn't, but that looks really good. We get a chance to see they're introducing the Watcher again, you know, because we saw a brief moment of him in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So we get to see the Watcher. We get to see Chadwick Boseman reprised his role as Black Panther one more time in the What If series. So then we also get to see Haley Atwell. Yes. Okay. She is going to be in it as well. So it's great that, you know, we get that little bit of our old MCU family, I guess, that we got to see on the live action, on the big screen, that they now are lending their voices to, you know, this new What If, this Marvel What If. So we've got that's coming out. Captain Marvel 2 is going to be coming out, and you know that I'm sure is going to end up linking together with WandaVision, because we've got Monica Rambeau that's going to be in WandaVision as well as Captain Marvel 2. The Hawkeye series looks, I mean, we've already seen the set photos for that. I know I'm stoked for it, because this looks, they're again straight out of the comic book costumes, what have you. It looks great. I mean, what do you guys think so far about, I mean, I know as far as who they casted as Kate Bishop, who's going is Hayley Steinfeld, you know, I think that was a perfect casting for that. What do you guys think so far?
Anyone.
Awesome. Anyone.
Yeah, I guess I'm more excited about that because it's already filming, so we get to get it sooner than all the other stuff announced. I'm looking forward to WandaVision. They also played some of Falcon and
the Falcon and Bucky show.
Yeah, and Winter Soldier. So there's that. That looks like they're coming out relatively soon. I think from
that one's coming out in March 2021. Yeah.
And then they talked about having Ironheart and Armor.
Armor Wars.
With War Machine. So I guess we're going to get a new Iron Man with Riri coming out to don the armor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be a bunch of new series. Blood.
Yes.
I had a theory that the little girl from Captain Marvel was going to be Ironheart. Was I wrong? Clearly,
100%.
They casted. They named the actress that was going to play.
Okay, but and it's not the character though either, right?
No.
Okay. No.
Not at all. Also, we've got the title for Ant-Man and the Wasp 3, the Quantum Mania, and they've cast Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror. Now that is, I'm actually pretty excited. Have you guys seen the HBO Love and Country?
I've seen like 4 episodes of it.
Yeah, Jonathan Majors is actually really good in that show.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, he's really good in that show. That's a really good. He's. I think that's perfect for them for him to be cast as that. And then we've got a She-Hulk, and Tim Roth is reprising his role as
Abomination.
Hell he's yeah. Back.
Yeah, and then Mark Ruffalo is going to be guest starring. So they didn't really say how many episodes he was going to be in, right?
No. And they confirmed the rumors that had come out of Tatiana Maslany as Jennifer Walters, or She-Hulk. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. But they said the least, but I think I'm more looking forward to Fantastic Four and see how they go. They announced a film. They didn't say anything with casting.
Right. So. And John Watts, who's directing Spider-Man 3, will also be directing Fantastic Four. So that's going to be, we're going to get to see, hopefully, a better Fantastic Four than the last one, the most recent one, and Rise of the Silver Surfer. So
I smell crossover. I smell Easter eggs. Like if it's the same director doing both, you have to sprinkle some shit, you know, in there, like, or some post-credit scene or something. Like, there has to be.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're going to see a whole bunch of stuff all over the...
I was going to say, there's too much shit going on in, like, that Spider-Man already. Like, do you really, like...
Yeah, that's why I'm worried.
I think they'll at least throw something, like, he talks to his friend Johnny Storm, you know. Something because they're friends in the comics. Like, there's going to be some sort of
go ahead and call Reed Richards to give us a hand or something like that.
Yeah, like just like a phone call there's going to be some sort of thing for that the fans will gasp. You know, if like we're in movie
theaters. Since Tony's gone, they need another genius.
Let's call Reed.
Reed.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's already a lot that's going on in Spider-Man 3. I don't want it to be overwhelmed with so much that's going on.
Too late.
Yeah, obviously. But I think what's going to end up happening is Avengers Tower is probably going to be sold. So I think they're going to mention what I'm predicting in Spider-Man 3 is that they're going to go ahead and sell the Avengers Tower in New York. Yeah, and then they're going to go ahead and it's going to be purchased and then it's going to be called the Baxter Building.
Baxter Building, yeah.
I think that's what's going to end up happening. I think that will probably be the only Fantastic Four reference we get in that movie is that, the Baxter Building.
That's enough.
So I think that's what, I mean, it's just, it's so much. I'm just so overwhelmed right now with all the shit that's going on right now.
I know, so. Like we're just seeing shit, like it's like hard to have, like, kept up with everything, like just coming out.
It's just one thing after another after another after another. I mean, it's
but you know what that means? No. Fucking content. We're gonna be busy.
Well, obviously. Yeah. You know, but thing that I'm actually really stoked about is I'm really actually super excited for the Alien series that's gonna be on FX. Because it's coming from the creator of Fargo, if I'm not mistaken. And also Ridley Scott's going to have his hand in it. So I'm super excited about that. And it's going to be set on Earth. So
yeah, instead of it being
in space.
Whoa.
So I'm pretty stoked about that. You know, it's just so much, so happy. And... Andres, how do you feel about Christopher Nolan talking shit about HBO Max?
I don't think he was necessarily talking shit. I think he was just more reiterating that none of the directors of the films that were... They didn't find out until that report found out. So they found out along the same time as all of us did. And I think that's what he was bothered about.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have the whole anticipation of having a large theatrical release at any time, you know, and then all of a sudden you get a text message from, you know, Johnny Bench and is just like, hey, man, I heard your movie's going to go straight to HBO Max. It's like, well, what the fuck are you talking about? It's going straight to HBO Max. you know,
the 1950s catcher from the Dodgers is going to call.
Wrong era, wrong team.
I'm so sorry. Go. Sorry.
You named the right position, so I'll give you that.
Yeah. So you get points for naming the position. I mean, what?
Nothing. Go. Sorry. I promised myself I was gonna interrupt less.
That's why you're so serious. It's like, no, I feel like you're
super quiet.
I know, man. Like, what's going on? It's like I'm purposely trying to drop, you know, things so that you can just be like, yeah, so you can bite and just be like,
I'll bite. So what?
Yeah, you will.
What's fascinating, just about the HBO, like, we don't know how showbiz works, obviously,
right?
But do you guys remember Iron Man 1? Mm-hmm. Terrence Howard was playing
War Machine,
right? And so then he got Don Cheadle replaced him, and so but when mm-hmm. that report first dropped, I was really upset about it. I really liked
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, Terrence Howard's performance. And mm-hmm. but the news article that broke was saying that there was a money dispute, that right. he wanted more money, mm-hmm. and that he himself said, like, I didn't even know about this until I saw that report. Like, there mm-hmm. was no money thing. No one ever told me anything, but it right. was just that they'd given him too much money at the first movie. And they're like, Don Cheadle will take less. Let's get him for the rest of them, and signed him for the rest. But it wasn't Terrence Howard's like fault. Like he was like, I didn't do anything. Like, there was nothing that was going on. So it's, I just kind of see this, that same Hollywood crap. And a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the Dave Chappelle thing where, Chappelle's show super successful and he doesn't see a dime of it. Like, it's just that shit. Like, when you sign that contract, I mean, it's pretty shitty. Like, if it's like this director thinks that they're going to get these royalties from fucking movie theaters and be like, yeah, well, COVID, so we're just going to release it this way without consulting with them. But legally speaking, by the sound of it, they don't have to consult with them. They own.
Not only that, but especially him, he seems like I don't, like, use a term loosely, like when they, like a auteur, like he's a director that he lets, like he's making a film. It's not just a fucking movie. So I'm sure he puts the forethought of how it's going to look on the big screen, as opposed to it just being filmed or shown on that.
Well, he's such like an artist, like the same way that Tim Burton is like an artist. Like, he has his method. Like, he still films in 35 millimeter, like, as opposed to digital cameras, and he's like, this is the best way to see my movie. And in that same interview, he's like, I like making a movie that you watch it 3-4 on the fifth time, you're catching shit you didn't see the first time. Right. Like, so he's that sophisticated guy, and so it's an art form to him, which it's a very good art form. But yeah, I know, it's just, it's so fascinating the way Hollywood works, right? And just
but I mean, it all comes ultimately down to, you know, the contract that the director signs when it comes down to, you know, him being picked to go ahead and direct. I mean, there's some directors that, you know, have in their contract final say, you know, they're the ones that goes through them at the very end. And if they like it, great. If they don't, tough shit. We have to do it a different way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of directors that have that, you know, final say are, you know, the old school directors that we know, Steven Spielberg, Scorsese, you know, they have final say in their films.
As a DC fan, it just worries me that if this gets bad press and if all these directors that are affected are upset and they all rally together, we just lost a bunch of good directors that were on side of DC. And I said this before, I'm not a DC versus Marvel, because Marvel is bringing out gold. They're fucking coming out swinging with every movie. And I just I want to see a more consistent DC good movie.
Mandalorian is doing fucking bomb because we're all fucking stuck at home and it's fucking amazing. These motherfuckers need to fucking knock that shit off and realize it's not the end all be all. I'm going to film 57 fucking movies. Sorry. I fucking built up.
It's so angry.
It's fine. It's not Inception 2. I'm going to do a million other movies. I get you that you're mad, but 3% of the world fucking died. Like, fucking stop. Not you, homie. Sorry. Go ahead, Luis.
No, I was counting how many. I was counting how many curse words you said. We stopped at 11.
I'm just.
You're very amped up. Please let it out.
Fucking problems. I built a fucking movie that's gonna be amazing. It's not gonna go in theaters, bro. You did fucking Dark Knight Rises. You fucking did such an amazing Batman thing, and you have my utmost respect. But the world is bigger than your fucking movie. Sorry. And Terrence Howard's with a better War Machine, especially with the chemistry that they had in the casino. Like, it was a way better chemistry. Don Cheadle was awesome, but the chemistry that Terrence Howard had with Robert Downey Jr.
Hey, speaking of that, wasn't there rumors that they weren't getting along on set?
Right.
Yes, there was.
That was the whole point of, you know,
And I think that's kind of, they didn't want to put it on Robert Downey Jr., but I'm pretty sure that's the reason why they got Don Cheadle.
Yeah, I think it wasn't really the money thing. It was more Terrence Howard kind of saying, well, because of me, you know, you're a star again. You know what I mean? Type thing.
Really?
That's what it really was. It wasn't the money thing. It was more of a, you know, because if you guys remember on the marquee, it was Terrence Howard with Robert Downey Jr. You know, because this was his first film coming back from being blacklisted as the alcoholic, the drug addict, you know. So that was John Favreau taking a risk for bringing in Robert Downey Jr. after all of that nonsense that he ended up having to deal with, which he overcame. So the big name on there was Terrence Howard. You know, he got paid more than Robert Downey Jr., you know, in this film. So when it came down to it, it was the shit talking going back and forth between Terrence Howard and Robert Downey Jr. saying, I'm the one that made you the star, you know, in this film, you know. So, right.
But but that's probably why every line between the two was fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, even though it wasn't that line. I think that would have been a way better War Machine. You know what I mean? Like the part where fucking Terrence Howard, nope. The part where War Machine has his back and they're in that little fucking, they're back to back in part two.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been amazing. Would have been a fucking amazing. It's like Apollo teaching fucking Rocky how to, another analogy, teaching Rocky how to fucking fight. It's, you know what I mean? Like your enemies, and sooner or later, you're going to have a mutual enemy.
Except that they were best friends.
That's true, except they were best friends. He's frozen. But that's what I think. I think that Don Cheadle and Robert Downey Jr. had the better chemistry as the movies went on. You know, in Iron Man 2, it was kind of so-so. Iron Man 3, you saw it a little bit more. You saw it more in Avengers. You saw it more. What?
No, okay, no, I agree. Like, as we, but I mean, come on, man.
But it took us two movies to believe their chemistry. While Terrence Howard and Robert Downey, you believed it in two scenes. Like, they're like, oh, these dudes are best friends. Like, even though, like,
they hated each other in real life.
That's acting. It's called acting. They did it well. Like, it was like the very beginning. It's like he was giving him shit for being late, and he's like, we're going to the party. The party jeep or whatever, and then that one gets blown up, and then later at the end when he fucking finds him in the desert, he's like, so the party jeep, huh? Like, and then it's just, but you feel that fucking connection, you see.
And then what else happens in the movie that we've already seen?
So then after that he gets Whoppers. Which actually the Whopper is a symbol of
what the fuck is happening
to rehab. Does everybody know that? It's a fun little fact.
Oh, what, the Whopper is the rehab?
Yeah, so when he was when he was like ODing, he ordered a Whopper, which he really likes, Burger King, and he couldn't taste it. And apparently, supposedly, one of the things when you're about to fucking go into cardiac arrest is that your taste buds go. And so the way he says the story is the Whopper saved his life. That's what put him into, like, I'm not enjoying this thing that I like. And so in the movie, when Gwyneth Paltrow sees him, he's like, I want two things. She's like, I don't want to hear it. He's like, it's not what you think. let's get some cheeseburgers, and then I want a press conference. And you see him unwrapping a Whopper, and that's a symbol of what saved him. And so now he's like, I've been dying for this cheeseburger, which he could have died had he not had that cheeseburger that he usually loves, tasted like shit, went into rehab. Yeah, so it's like a whole thing. But I thought it was like a fascinating little Easter egg about his life.
And you told the deep cuts.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, there's Carmen. Welcome to the show.
I just woke up.
Oh, fuck. That's going to be a bad show.
I'll speak less next time, Carmen. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't in reference to you, Louise. It was in reference to Ash.
It's not cool. You, Louise. Ash sucks, not you. You're cool.
Well, I mean, I think Carmen's still waiting for Ash's challenge to try to go toe-to-toe drinking.
Do it.
Okay. Yeah. Fucking, she's drinking tea. Okay.
Today I'm drinking tea. The last time I was not drinking tea. Who ended up drunk?
You. There's so much
evidence. I
don't know who you're talking about.
There's so shut up, you two.
I was sober as a fish.
Hey, over just for sober, two right? days. Why do you think it all happened today? Like, why do you think a random Thursday? Like, was
It wasn't a random Thursday.
We were waiting for it. Actually, it was an investor's.
It was an investor call.
Yeah, really. So that's what happened. So this is the investor calls are like this is what we plan for next year, kind of thing, or the next
10 years.
They're like, thank you for your money. This is what we're gonna do with part of the money we got that you guys gave us. That's and here, here's awesome. Our what here's else? Our giant, massive, sparkly cock. Enjoy.
And it's just like,
Disney Plus got a $9 billion. Mm-hmm. What do you call it? Budget for new content, mm-hmm. just for mm-hmm. Disney Plus originals. That's not to include anything outside Disney Plus, like the ESPN network or the Fox shows or mm-hmm. anything on Hulu. That's just $9 billion for Disney. It was a lot in between. They did the in between of presenting all the new shows and the new content, but in the beginning and the end, it was mostly talking about their analytics and their financials and like how they're doing, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't know. I've never listened to one, so I didn't know that they actually are kind of transparent on like what they're spending their mm-hmm. money on and what their finances look like.
Because that's directly to their investors. So all the people that's why they went over their financials.
Yeah.
Hold on real quick. I'm sorry, Esteban, real quick, Mr. Host. She, as the information woman, just kicked the fuck out of Luis for information. Because we usually depend on Luis for that shit. She just like, you remember that part in American History X when that guy got curb stomped? That's what happened to Luis. How's your mouth? I'll never ask you that again. Back to you, Esteban.
Wow.
Good job, Carmen.
I am not here to stomp on anyone. I just found it really interesting.
Don't be the only girl. Last week you were awesome. Back to you, Esteban.
Thanks, Ash.
I like when Ash is an asshole. He acts like a news anchor. Back in the studio. I'm not taking any questions at this time. Back to the studio.
No, but you gotta kind of think about, you know, these investor calls as report cards of what they've done in the past and what they're anticipating to do in the future. That's what these investor calls are for. Like Andres said, it's like what they're going to be doing, you know, with all their money. Like, here's the giant, massive slew of movies and TV shows and things like that that we have planned, you know. But keep in mind, a lot of this shit may not a lot, but some of this shit may not even happen. Just like when
depending how things go,
right. Just like the last time when we were supposed to get an Inhumans movie, what happened? It turned into a TV show, and what happened in that TV show? It went straight to the fucking toilet. It was a shit TV show.
Never saw it.
You know, it was fucking horrible. It was fucking bad. And you know what? I was excited about it because the main character that played Black Bolt was on the AMC TV show Hell on Wheels, and that show was fucking awesome. That show was brilliant. you know, and I was excited because he was going to be in it. He was going to play Black Bolt, you know, and, you know, it's everyone was just like, oh, well, it's going to be a difficult thing because he can't talk throughout the entire TV show, you know, but they're saying, oh, but his emotions and his fate and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, it was fucking garbage. It was shit. Disney just is no longer supporting us, guys. I'm so sorry. Fuck. So angry about that. I'm so angry about that because I was really looking forward to Inhumans. I really was. I'm not going to lie. I was really looking forward
to that. I'm sure they were too, but they're like, oh, this is going to suck. Let's just put it out and see what happens.
Yeah. It was so bad. And the wig, the red wig, it was, oh, God. It was bad. But to what Carmen was saying, $9 billion that's going to Disney originals. The Disney originals that are actually that they've announced were Mighty Ducks Game Changers, Turner and Hooch, Big Shot, Beauty and the Beast, the prequel series, Swiss Family Robinson, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and the Mysterious Benedict Society. Those are the that's ones. Not, so
that's not counting the Buzz Lightyear origin story?
Correct. It is not because what? I believe that is going to be a movie.
Okay, okay.
I think that's going to be a movie.
Be Buzz Lightyear.
And that's fucking Chris Evans. In the budget for
the film? God.
What is that studio? The studio.
Pixar?
Pixar.
That's a different budget.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So we're looking
but at what? Make fun of me. No, go ahead.
God, I know the
she's gonna fucking stab you.
But every time you spit information, his face is all nothing. He has nothing.
I don't know why. You know what though? I think you're the only one in this group that sees me as the information guy. Like
I think
we all bring it, and then Ash just shows up. He's like, "What are we talking about today, guys?" Like,
Ash shows up like 6 minutes late. And it's like, "Oh, everybody here, let's go."
Yeah, so you guys on fucking time or what? Like, it's like, bro, we're waiting for you. Like, so, like, I'm very happy listening to you guys have done your homework. I just find it funny. I'm very.
Okay.
I'm very pleased that you elevated me at such a level that you thought of me as the info guy. Thank you for that.
Luis, I always saw you as a major contributor to this podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Till today.
That sounded insulting.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I agree with you. Ash is the guy that shows up like 6 minutes late and is just like, all right, let's do this.
Okay, how are you today, fucker?
It was literally 6 minutes late.
And you're the host.
And you're talking shit to me? What did you tell me today? Yeah, you go ahead and do the TikTok post.
I did say
I was gonna go ahead and say that Estevan and Luis have the biggest grace, and Carmen too, because she does the updates, the docs.
Yes,
and I do basically bullshit. So I try to be here on time and to support my cast members and know as much as I can. Because they're pulling way extra than what I do.
And yeah, but you and Esteban are the looks as well as here, are the looks. And he's the info guy, and I'm the funny guy. We all got hired for a reason. Also, I count into affirmative action, so it all worked out.
I think we all count towards affirmative action.
I think this is true, dude.
Exactly.
What?
This is what happened. Me more. Back to you, Esteban.
I will not
be taking questions at this time.
Now with sports.
Now with sports. Champ kind with sports. Whammy.
Like, speaking about sports, I'm not in the world of sports at all. Besides sometimes I watch football games. I'm not. Shut up. But I want to ask you guys a question because they touched on it on the webcast. Sports betting, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it's huge.
You're massive.
I thought like it was like illegal. Is that not?
No, because in Vegas, it's kind not illegal.
Yeah.
In Vegas, it's not illegal, but with the DraftKings app, it makes it legal. You know,
it's you bet through a bookie, you don't bet directly. So the way the loophole that they have with it is that it's legalized gambling in the sense that there's like a third party that you put your money through, and then you tell them what you want your bet to be, and then they bet for you. So it's this little thing. And so DraftKings, as an example, they'll take a percentage of whatever, but
and it is like that does crazy money. So
Yeah, they listed that as the biggest growth for ESPN.
Wow. I think what I know we're talking off subject, but I think that more of the sports leagues are starting to accept the sports gambling because it's such a big deal that they're kind of catering to those people, the people that gamble now, because it's just so much money. So they're starting to like throw lines for games out, as opposed to where they wouldn't do that previously. And you'd just have to go do either. You can find everything online, obviously, or if you would go with like to sports talk radio, there'd be a program and they would talk about the spread and how to cover and so and so. So yeah, that is like, unless you're like in the world of sports, like that is like high up.
It's crazy where, I mean, I know I have a friend that does that on a regular basis. You know, he'll throw money down and, you know, he'll put down $700. And if everything goes his way, he ends up walking out with like, you know, $2,500, almost $3,000, you know, putting down $700, you know, so the dude's making profit over, you know, placing bets. And it's just one of those things where if you're like, I'm just saying, if you're not in tune with watching and knowing and seeing what these teams are doing, whether it's college, NFL, MLB, you know, I mean, my buddy ends up putting $100 every year for the Dodgers to win the pennant every year. And for the last 7 years that they won the pennant, you know, he's making money. He's putting down $100 and he's making $200, $300, $400, you know, at a time, you know. So that's his thing, is that, you know, he does that, you know. So yeah, it's I believe it that that's one of, you know, Disney's biggest commodity is that, you know,
they own ESPN. That's why.
Exactly, because they own ESPN, you know. So yeah, it's crazy, you know. I mean, if you go to Vegas and you go down to and you just sit there and just watch, you know, there's points there. It goes based off of like this, like Andres was saying, the spread. So between two teams, they're going to score X amount of points. And if they go over that, then you lose all your money. If they go under that, then you lose all your money. You know, it really depends on how it's played. So
there's a place by Aria that does the sports betting. And I had never done that before. And there was a UFC fight going on that day. And so I was all excited. And I walk up to place my bet. And I give the guy $20, and the guy looks at me like I was the biggest asshole ever. Turns out that wasn't a big bet. I guess they usually want more. That's the end of my story, but I felt like a piece of shit. I lost that bet. I lost $20. Yeah, back to you. Right.
I won't do fucking $20 to get a square at Super Bowl. Like, no, bro, I'm good.
What I was saying, I thought that was good. Like, I'm all excited, and he's like, that's it? Like, he made me feel like a piece of shit. Like,
yeah, typically with stuff...
Sorry.
No, typically with stuff like that, like they want at least upwards of $100 minimum, depending, you know, because it's like if you want to make some money, you need to put down some money.
The flyer said $20 minimum, and that's what I did.
I'm just saying that's
$20 always gets you in the door.
Hey, Luis, I had Luis's back until he promoted the $20 minimums flyer, so I'd like to retract my statement.
No, you can't.
I was gonna say, if you ever do that, you could always just tell the person's like, this is my first time placing a bet, I would like to know, like, and they could, if they're not busy, they could always guide you along the same way as like if you're playing any of the games, then you always move to a table that's not busy, and they'll explain.
Yeah,
just make sure you tip.
Yeah, Luis, I do have a question for you. When you went down to go place the $20 on there, did you use Ash's strategy when he picks fighters? Did you look at their abs before?
You have to look at their fucking abs.
I thought he would look at their ass.
No, I never looked at ass. I can't see ass through the trunks. You got to look at the abs.
What's wrong with you? You could always see a shape.
Of course.
You always go for the hotter boxer. Come on. Come on.
I mean, I'm just saying, did you use the ab technique? Is that what happened? Hey, what the
hell? Sometimes I did really fucking good and you got all pissed off because I fucking won some of those bitches on abs.
You have a 50-50 chance per fight to get the right
answer. That's true.
Regardless. Fair.
So it's not like it was a great accomplishment that you.
This is also facts.
Guess the random dude.
Haley's comment whenever Andreas has my back. Like, that's why
he has my back. I'm sorry. I'm logical. My bad.
Hey, Andreas is in stacks.
Fuck me for using logic, right?
No, Andreas, no. No one would ever. Okay. Did everybody see The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Stupid question, I know. Fuck me, right? So,
spoiler alert. Carmen.
Massive spoiler alert.
It's a spoiler alert.
Well, one, as HR, what do you have alert? Like, what do you have? Like, do you send an email? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, it's an email.
I'm not trying to put you on blast. I'm just like, you as HR need to have like some kind of like an alarm now. Like, I don't know if it's.
She just did it. It was this.
Like the swap meet thing. Like when you go to the swap meet and it's these things. That's needed.
It's your... like the lamps, you know, kind of like the cops, but not blue and red is the thread.
Yes.
And then it like goes in a circle, you know?
Blue light special.
They really do. I'm not being a dick. They call that. So go ahead and get the cherry and then that'll be our spoiler alert. Stop it. I learned it on Friends. They called it the cherry. That's no all. That's all.
Shit. Back to you, sir.
You're right. You are not wrong.
You guys are laughing, but that's going to be our thing.
He keeps doing that. Just like, he's like, hey, he's like, nobody no talks shit to me. Shit.
Back to someone.
I'm not even talking shit, man. So, well, as everybody knows, this is going to be the part of the podcast where we are going to go ahead and discuss The Mandalorian. We're going to be heavy spoilers into the Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 6. Title of this is The Tragedy, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, The Tragedy.
We should also talk about what our, the way we do Mandalorian, what our next show will be when it's done. Back to you, Esteban.
What?
No, what our next show will be, like, because we're making this.
What will we talk about at the end of the show going forward after Mandalorian's done?
Probably WandaVision at the start of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
That is also very true. Yeah. So, The Mandalorian. How does everybody feel about this last episode, being that the previous episode we saw Ahsoka Tano in there? So Carmen, because I know you're one of, I'm considering you like Star Wars, Chief Star Wars, you know, in the entire group. Chief Star Wars, chief, you know, the editor in chief of Star Wars.
It didn't make sense the first time, but when you said it the third time, it started to make sense. Back to you, Seven.
Shut up, fucker. You were drunk the last episode. You were drunk for two fucking
chief,
days.
Chief Star two Wars, days. like the chief of all Chief Star Wars. All right, Chief Star Wars. Chief Star Wars. Hold on.
And then just trying to make it okay.
Chief Star Wars, what did you think? Also known as Carms. Back to you, Carms.
I really liked the episode because of Boba Fett and what happened with Boba Fett. You guys are okay.
I'm agreeing with you. This is cheering.
No, I got it. I'm distracted by a lot of other things.
By Ash? But, I know. It's Ash.
The beard? What,
are you done?
No, you're telling your story. Back to you, Carms.
Would you like to tell us how you felt about The Mandalorian?
No, not at all. No, I am absolutely listening. I'm just fucking with Esteban as you're talking. Back to you, Lou. Back to Lou.
Which deflects Lou, it right back to Carms. All right, yeah, so Boba Fett. Boba Fett was the highlight.
How dare you?
Yeah. And then also the Grogu on the I don't meditation want to call it a temple, but in the meditation rock, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Powerful.
And the five, hell yeah. And I like that he had his fingers like this at some point, you know, kind of cool. Like the old Jedi or like what we saw before. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I like that. I like the, what are they called? They look like Iron Man suits, but they were not. They're the...
Death troopers.
Yeah. I thought that was super cool the way that, you know, they just came and grabbed him and took him. But I'll let you guys speak until I try to remember what else happened because I saw it on last Friday, and it's on a little foggy.
Well, a piece of what you were saying about Boba Fett, I don't think we've ever seen in the show where. A stormtrooper gets whacked so hard that you see pieces of his armor shards like fly out. Like, holy hell.
Yeah,
that's pretty dope.
You can see broken helmets and then he stabs him with the tip.
Yeah, like at first, I'm not going to lie, when he was hitting him with a blunt object, I'm like, that's kind of dumb because they have armor. But then you see the shards fly out. I'm like, holy fuck, that's a lot of force. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, this episode...
after he got back the armor, so he has it, and he was still like fucking him up with his fist.
He was fucking everybody, up, dude.
That was super dope.
Like fucking no regard to anything. You know, it was dope to see, you know, him, and then you already knew when he looked at the Razor Crest, you're like, yeah, this fucker's gonna go get his armor, and we're gonna see this dude in his fucking armor. Like, that was fucking dope.
Yeah. Back to you, Ash.
It was dope. I mean, it...
Back to you, Seba.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Dude, okay, so the fucking protector role has been amazing. Like, there's, like, you know, like, the Punisher season 2 was kind of like, oh, okay, cool, you warmed up the cold-hearted person, but, like, the fucking... You kind of always took it as like, oh, it's just a job and I'm protecting. And then like little by little, this kid is just fucking, it's going to be heartbreaking when he actually does give up Grogu. Like fucking when he's trying to get into that fucking stream and he fails and like, okay, I'll protect you. And then he fucking, I can't do it. And then he does it again. And he's like, okay, I'll protect you. And then, like, down to when they took him, like, god damn, that fucking episode was so fucking good because as, not me, but as parents, you guys know everything that you would do for your kid. And that scene was just, like, fucking amazing. It was, like, even down to, I'm gonna go get Grogu by myself. And, like, and when Boba Fett was, like, no, the debt hasn't been paid, I was, like, all...
That was badass. Yeah.
And it was great. Hopefully the camera wasn't on me for that. But
it was.
It was just fucking amazing. And then these death troopers or death dicks.
Yeah, you got it.
They look amazing. And I'm sure they were shown 15 years ago. But for me, it looked fucking like awesome.
Mm.
And I don't know if you guys saw, is it Juan Giancarlos? I'm getting his name wrong.
You got it. Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito.
Did you see his little interview on the day that episode came out? He got a call from his daughter saying, you better not hurt baby Yoda. And then he said, I'm going to squish that little bug. Did you guys see that? It was
I didn't. That's cool, man.
So cool. Like, he just said, like, I'm never jealous of a coworker or a co-star. Mm. But, like, when his daughters called him to say, you better not hurt baby Yoda, like, he took it all weird. And he was like, he just messed with them. It was just like a super cute little moment.
Right.
Okay, back to you, Esteban.
Oh, he's going to cry.
That fucking, that scene where, like, that motherfucker, it's just a job to... I know we've seen that fucking storyline a million times of the hitman that,
right,
you know, won't kill a kid and now he's protecting the kid. We've seen that a million times, but in this world, in this Star Wars world, it's fucking, they're making it amazing. Plus they're like, how about Boba Fett? How about this scene from fucking season two, episode two, like, or season one, episode two, like, I'm gonna say her name wrong. Ming Na Wen, like, just amazing. And that's your connection between Boba Fett and him, and like, they're just like, they're like Charlie with the Charlie from Always Sunny with the whole fucking. The strings going everywhere, showing you how we're getting there.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
No, for sure. No, and it was a fantastic episode. It was great. You know,
it was a fantastic episode.
And the fact that we're going to get to see Boba Fett continuously throughout this entire, you know, series until they get Grogu back, you know, I'm ecstatic about that. You know what I mean? The sad part is that I'm sad when the series has its like series finale, like when it's done and over with. I have a feeling that the Mandalorian, the series finale, like when it ends, when it all comes to an end, Mandalorian. I have a feeling that he's gonna die, that he's gonna sacrifice himself, and he's gonna save Grogu somehow, some way, and
you know, I quit. Carry on. I quit today.
Why?
I'm just kidding. Just don't say that shit. You're not gonna quit. This is gonna go forever, like Walking Dead, but in a bad way.
Well, back to you, Esteban. No,
thank you. Thank you. Who, as far as the Jedi, which Jedi do you think is going to help out and try to save Grogu?
Hey, why do they keep showing Winter Soldier as Luke Skywalker? Is that going to be a thing?
No, they just say how much they look alike.
Why do they keep doing what?
Sebastian.
Oh, yeah, that's all it is.
Stan. No.
Stan.
Yeah, it is Stan, right?
Luke, who do you think was going to be the Jedi that reaches out or senses Grogu?
I would lose my shit if it was Cal from the Jedi Lost Order. It's the EA published video game that they said was going to be, that is canon. If they were to do that, that'd be so great. Because that's that video game storyline follows a kid that survived Order 66. Order 66? So he lost touch with the Force, so he doesn't actively use it because he's in hiding. But then he gets older, and then he starts to kind of reconnect, goes to the temple, and then he starts to connect. And I actually just played this game. And essentially the theme of the game is he's trying to find this map that has the location of all these force sensitive people. And I just thought that would be such a fascinating thing, considering that's the storyline of the game. And it's the kid was the voice actor and the motion capture. The
CGI.
Did the motion capture. Yeah. It was the same. It's the same guy that played Joker in Gotham, the redhead guy. Mm-hmm. And so he's at the right age to be able to work off of a franchise. So it would be so great to then tie that together. So where you don't have to watch or you don't have to play the game to know who he is. Just say, I'm a survivor of Order 66. Immediately, Star Wars fans, even if they're not video game, like they don't play games, be like, holy shit, that's cool. And then see, like, I'll show you what I know, you know, and then to kind of do something to kind of keep.
What if it's Yoda?
He's dead.
At that point?
Okay.
Oh, he is. That's right. It's post.
Who did fucking Luke learn on fucking, who did Luke learn from in the planet? Like, remember when he was gone and then he came back in return as he learned from Yoda, no? Or am I tripping?
What? This is after Return. This is after Return of Jedi.
The Mandalorian takes place
from
after
Empire Return. Empire Strikes Back to Return. Who was Luke learning to be a Jedi from?
Yoda
was still alive.
Yoda was still alive. Remember, he died in Return of the Jedi?
Yes, I understand.
Right. So, therefore, the Mandalorian being after Return of the Jedi, Yoda is still dead. Back to you, Esteban.
Maybe don't say it quite so harshly.
I don't think he's going to be a living Jedi. He's going to learn from.
It's going to be Mace Windu.
You think it's going to be Mace Windu?
Is he alive?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yes.
Well, we don't know.
Oh, because so, he got all.
You didn't see him die at the end.
Bye, motherfucker. Yeah, he did. That's true.
Carmen, what do you think?
I would think Ezra, just because they're bringing Thrawn into it, and he was heavily involved with that series. So I would think he would make the most sense. And then if they're going to do the Ahsoka show, and it's set around the same time as The Mandalorian, I would think that would make the most sense. But I have heard the rumors of Cal, as Luis was saying, kind of appearing just so they can bring the universe of the games and make it right. canon.
I would lose my shit. So one small thing that I'll say about it, that was such a big nerd out for me. Mm-hmm. So I just beat it. Like, I know it came out like in fucking March.
What, you did what?
I just beat off, and then I beat the game. But in the game, because it's, you know, it's
I'm
the
never
survivor of Order 66
ever.
Yeah. Back to you, Luis. So what was happening is the very end of this game is like you're as the game's progressing, you're learning your force powers, you're learning force push, pull, whatever, as the game video game progresses. The tail end of it, you meet Vader and you just see how not rivaled you are to him at all. Of just,
you're like, I'm out this bitch, fuck it.
Yeah, like this is a Jedi fucking master and you are nothing to him. And so like you essentially, it turns into a horror game where you're running away.
That's cool, man.
Oh my God, it's so great. But then it even ends with, I don't want to endanger the lives of four sensitive people, because then they're going to live in fear the way I do. Instead, he just like, you know, I'm going to leave them alone and let the force guide them. And that's really how the game ends. It's just, so it leaves it in such a beautiful place to where it can go to this. And again, he's in that right age to be able to, like, if this does decide to sprout somewhere, or if we were to see like what did happen to this person, or what does happen to those more sensitive, force sensitive people. Oh my God. It's so great. I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
No, I would love to see Cal Kestis in The Mandalorian. That'd be great, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be him, only because of what you just said. He didn't. It was a holocron that he had, right?
Yes, it is. Look at you. Yeah.
So it's a holocron, but he destroys the holocron. So that's why.
Yes, he does.
Don't blush.
I'm not only are you calling him by his last name, but it was a holocron. I just didn't want to throw out the terms. But yeah, he does. But because Grogu was meditating on the rock, it's like, oh, it'll call somebody. And so that's where I was like, do I think it's going to happen? No. But would I absolutely lose my shit? Absolutely. Like it would be.
No, I agree with you. I think that we'll see him, you know, we'll see him, whether it's in, you know, the Mandalorian, or we'll see him in the Ahsoka series, or we'll see him in the other Mandalorian spinoff show that's going to be taking place, you know, later on. I'm sure we'll see him. There's no doubt. But the only reason why I have a feeling that it's going to be Ezra is because apparently I haven't seen it yet, but there have been stills of, I haven't seen Rebels yet, and shame on me. I know I need to watch Rebels, but isn't there like a cat that is drawn to Ezra? Like a white.
Yeah. The cat of his planet. God, but yes, I know.
Apparently, if
you're right, the cat.
It's a blink if you miss it. In the last episode of The Mandalorian, you see a brief shot of that cat, like run in
on
and then run out.
Last chapter?
Yes, on the tragedy. That's what I saw. So that's why I'm more leaning towards it being Ezra, because they're connecting it with the cat. You know, that cat. So I would love to see Mace Windu in it, because Mace Windu is actually pretty dope in the Star Wars series. Granted, he has no hands, but I'm sure he'll have hands now. But
metal hands.
Yeah. So I think that would be pretty dope. I would actually put money more on seeing Mace Windu in the Obi-Wan Kenobi story, the series. I would probably venture to see him in that than in The Mandalorian.
And the Darth Maul character, maybe?
Maybe.
The metal one, like they did in Clone Wars?
Oh, with the spider
legs? Yeah.
Or maybe Darth they'll Metal do Lakes. Like some sort of flashback, and Mace Windu is the one that saved Grogu from Order 66. So like when they took him, you know, from the temple. Maybe, maybe.
I love that. That's a good connection.
I like it. I like it. Ash, what were you gonna say, dude?
You back to you, like... Ash.
No, I was just saying, just because it'd be weird. The connection being Mace Windu took out Jango Fett. It would be kind of cool if they got Grogu back and then
Grogu.
Grogu.
You said Grogu. You said Grogu.
Grogu.
Hey, I have pet names for everybody. Luis is Bitch Boy, and then we have Carms, and then we have. I'm absolutely kidding, Luis. No, it'd be cool. It would be cool because, like, imagine them getting Grogu back, and then.
Oh boy.
Mace Windu shows up and you're the guy that killed my dad. That'd be, I don't know. Maybe that's too
that
all
would
my
be cool.
For me, for you guys, but that'd be kind of cool. Days of Our Lives.
That'd be pretty cool. Days of Our Lives. Nice reference. I like it.
Did you guys like seeing Grogu use the Force to beat
that
the
was dope.
Stormtroopers?
That was dope.
Then he was choking him like the dark side, and you're like, oh,
yes.
He's dipping his toe in the dark side. I saw that shit too. I was like, oh, fuck.
He was going to finish them off, but then he just like smashed their heads together.
Ran out of it. Nah, he ran out of energy. Yo, he was just like, oh, fuck.
He was fucking tired, bro.
I need a cigarette. Like, he was just, he was done.
The scene reminded me a lot of when Leia was held. And Darth Vader comes to visit her. Like it looked almost the same to me.
No, it was that was perfect. That was great, you know, for them to do something like that. I'm sure it was just a calling back to A New Hope, you know, for them to go ahead and do something like that. That was great. I think that, did you guys realize that Robert Rodriguez was the one that directed this last episode?
At the tail end of it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He did one last season, didn't he?
I believe he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive he did.
I believe he did. I think he
did him one. And Dave Filoni are bros.
Oh, they're brosifs?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I can see that. But did everybody...
Hat.
Yeah, it's the cowboy hat, number one. But... You know how Robert Rodriguez was like super into like the Grindhouse films where he did, and there was a lot. I don't know. I think it was just me. It was just super funny where where the Mandalorians running up to try to get back to Grogu, and the Death Troopers ended up landed, and the camera zoomed in right into Grogu's face, and he's just like, ah! And then they grabbed him and they swooped him and like he took off. No, yeah. I was the only one. That shit I was laughing my fucking ass off when I saw that. I thought that was dope. You know, it was very like back to Grindhouse where it's like the super zoom in on the face and then it's just like big eyes in the scream and then like poof, he's gone. So I thought, I don't know, that was cool. Back to you, Luis.
Back to you, Ash.
It's still on you. I was laughing because the green square was still on you, so it didn't come to me. I did notice that, and I was too busy being sad over Mandalorian not making it back. But
To Razor Crest.
Yeah, but you know the adventure is going to be getting him back. Like it can't be him going everywhere with him. Like sometimes The episode has to be them getting him back, especially since everybody wants him. The Grogu.
Yeah, So the thing that I didn't catch, I had to watch it again and I couldn't really tell, but the experiments that they were running on with Grogu's blood, I couldn't tell what was in the chambers. I mean, obviously they were messing around and, you know, with science and trying to merge. I'm assuming they were stormtroopers, you know, that they were using as test subjects. But I couldn't tell what they were trying to do. You know, or what kind of mutation was taking place in there, you know, because they were in the tubes. So
my assumption is that they were just trying to get force sensitive stormtroopers, but
yeah, that's what I assume.
Just a guess.
I don't know. Yeah.
Did you guys know that the little backpack on the back of the stormtroopers, the little cylinder that's on their back, like on their lower back, that the original concept was that they wanted stormtroopers to have lightsabers as well, but they were, theirs were supposed to be battery operated, and that little cylinder on the back was the battery pack to the lightsaber.
So it would like be attached to that?
Yeah, it would be attached to that.
Weird.
No idea. Yeah,
it's crazy. I saw it in, I was a Disney Plus thing where they were talking about Star Wars, and they were talking, obviously, and they were talking about like George Lucas's, like how he essentially came up with the ideas and stuff like that and what he wanted to do. Cause he didn't, at one point, he didn't think it was fair that it was only a select few people that had the lightsabers. He kind of wanted it to be like a everybody had them type thing, you know, because he wanted to kind of make it like very,
light show
medieval, no, like more medieval, you know, everyone carried a sword and stuff like that, you know, because how he hit, how Obi-Wan hinted to, you know, a lightsaber being an elegant weapon, you know, and how Obi-Wan always hated blasters because, you know, they weren't elegant, they're more primitive, you know what I mean? So yeah,
I dig it.
And that was this week's episode of comics.
Well, real quick. Did you guys see, look, it's a Star Wars thing, okay? All right. Did you guys happen to see that someone redid the fight scene of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader? They're calling it the fight scene that we should have seen in episode 4, A New Hope? No. Okay, I'm sending it to you guys, and then I'm gonna put it on our Instagram and stuff. It's fucking amazing. Anyways, this has been another episode of Comics. I want to thank everybody that has been listening to us for the last 11 episodes. So if you can,
11 episodes.
It has been 11 episodes. So it's actually been a lot more than that, but it's 11 episodes for this iteration of Comics. For this comics reboot, I want to go ahead and thank everybody for listening. I want to please ask if you guys can go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. If you guys can go ahead and give us a thumbs up on YouTube, leave us a comment, share our videos. That helps us out a lot, you know, so that, you know, maybe one day eventually we can go in and quit our day jobs and we can do this full time. but if you guys can go in and do that, I would really appreciate it. So until next time, guys, we'll see you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Doodles.